Tezaf was Psachim Dav Gimel. In the first daf of the Masechta, we learned in Machlokas Amoraim whether the word or in the Mishnah means day or night. Working with the assumption that both Amoraim are being literal in their translation, the Gemara brought 11 proofs, two of which conclusively proved that it means night, and the other nine of which were not successful in proving anything. Our daf begins with an additional four proofs, all of which conclusively prove that or means night. First, the Mishnah records Machlokas Beisham Beisil about the tumah status of a woman who suffers a miscarriage on the Or Lishmonim Ve'echad, which is after her 80 days of Yimei Tara are over, but before she brings a Karban on the 81st day. Each opinion contrasts Or with Yom, clearly proving that Or means night. Second, the Mishnah explains how we know that a Karban Shlom can only be eaten for 2 days and the one night in between those 2 days, but cannot be eaten on the Or Lishlishi, the night preceding the third day after it was brought, even though it isn't burnt as Nosar until the next morning. The term Or Lishlishi clearly refers to night. Third, in describing how there are seven brachos in the Shemona Esrei of the various tefillos we daven on Yom Kippur, the Mishnah describes davening at Or, Shachris, Musaf, Mincha, and Ne'ila. Clearly, Or means night. Finally, the Braisa explicitly says that we do Bedikas Chametz on the Lel Arba Asar, clearly proving that when our Mishnah says that we do Bedika at Or, it must mean night. And that's absolutely conclusive proof. So the Gemara concludes that all Amorai must agree that Or means night. When Rav Huna said that it means Naghi, that's because in his town they referred to night as Naghi. So Vitana Didan, my time Elokatani Leili, why didn't our Mishnah simply say night, which would have been a much clearer expression than Or? Lishnamal Yehudanakat, the Mishnah prefers to speak in a more dignified way. In fact, various Amoraim show how the Torah wrote an extra 8, 9, 10, even 16 letters just to avoid using a less refined expression such as tame. Tana de Beir Rabbi Shmuel, Lo Olam Yisaper Adam B'Lashon Nekiyah, we derive from three separate psukim that not only does the Torah use a refined manner of speech, but the Rabbanan do the same, and even in mundane conversation, a person should use a refined manner of speech. Even though both a man and a woman who are Zavim can be Mitami things that they sit on through Tumas Merkav, the Torah calls it Merkav by a man and Moshav by a woman, since Merkav is an undignified expression to use for a woman because it implies sitting with legs apart. The Torah describes Tzipora, Rivka, and Basheva as rochvim to express that they were scared at the time, either of the height of a camel traveling, and either at the height of the camel that she was on. That's how we explain Rivka, or traveling at night, or afraid of David, or climbing a mountain. Even though we always try to use the most dignified expression, there is a competing principle that Loli Mishan Adam Talmidu Derech Tzara, we should always teach our students with the most brevity. Therefore, when the length of the expression would be the same, we choose the more dignified expression. But when the more dignified expression is longer, we choose the less dignified, shorter expression. The daf concludes with several stories that demonstrate how the way a person speaks can reveal a lot about him. First, Hanutrei Talmidi. There were two students of Rav, one of whom described the shear as a tired goat, the other described it as a tired pig. Rav wouldn't talk to the student or refer to it as a davrach or a pig. Second, either Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai or Rabbi Yochanan asked, as a young man, why we aren't moskin betara, careful to put freshly cut olives into a tahor kli, rather than asking why we are moskin betuma. His Rebbe predicted greatness for him because he uses the term ein betara rather than the term tuma, and indeed, lo hayam muatim atshahora hara b'Yisrael. It didn't take long for the student to become a significant posek. Third, a Kohen described this portion of the Lechem Apanim as being the size of a zanav halta'a, a weasel's tail. They looked into him and found either a psul in his lineage or that he had serious character flaws. Parenthetically, the Gemara tells the story of Hahu Arma'a, a guy who used to brag that he was able to fool the Chachamim into giving him a portion of a Karban Pesach. When Rabbi Yehuda ben Seira heard about this, he encouraged the guy to ask for the fatty tail, which halachically really has to be burnt on the Mizbeach. When the man made this strange request, the Chachamim researched his lineage, discovered the truth, and killed him, complimenting Rabbi Yehuda ben Seira that At bin Etzivin and Mitzudaskal Prusul Yerushalayim. You're all the way in Etzivin, and your trap extends all the way to Yerushalayim. fourth, Rabbi Shob Reid Ravidi, when he was sent to check on Rav Kahane, he discovered that Rav Kahane had passed away, but when reporting back, he hid the tear in his shirt and didn't respond directly with the bad news, because Motzi Dibu Ksil, it's a foolish thing to share bad news. And finally, Yochanan Chakuka went to check on the crops, and when he was asked about the performance of each crop, which had been growing poorly, he didn't respond directly, instead responding about the other crops that he hadn't been asked about in order to avoid sharing bad news.